Welcome to another episode of the Dealer Talk Podcast. This is your host, Herb Anderson. Thank you so much for tuning in. So a lot of crazy things going on right now. We've heard a lot about on the vendor side of things, you know, some of their best practices, some of their best recommendations and advice for dealerships. But this session is a little bit special because we're actually talking to a principal of dealers, right? And we're getting his perspective on the current situation, some of the strategies and things that they're doing and working on right now to kind of offset this crazy times that we're in. And I'm just very excited to share this with all of you. So without further ado, let's get into it. Today on the podcast, we have Mr. George Grinswish.
Thank you.
Right on, man. Hey, dude, thank you so much. I know it's crazy times right now. So just to have you on here and just sharing your information with us is very appreciated, man. Thank you.
Oh, it's my honor. Thank you so much for inviting me onto your podcast. It's the first one I've ever done. And, you know, I hope I do it okay.
Yeah, man. No, I'm stoked. This is going to be a lot of fun and very informative for sure. I'm very, very excited to get your perspective on things just because of, you know, you own the dealerships, you're managing from the operation side of things. And so we haven't really heard that side or that perspective yet on the show. And so again, thanks for being here. So overall, just 50,000, man, what are you guys seeing right now? How are things?
Well, you know, I see things better than I thought they would be at this point. You know, we were prepared for the absolute worst, and it's not quite that bad. We have three stores in the greater Sacramento area, Mercedes-Benz of Sacramento and Mercedes-Benz of Rocklin and Mercedes-Benz of El Dorado Hills. They're all operating a little bit different. The service departments are all doing about 65 to 75% of normal. Same with parts. They kind of, as you well know, fall in line. And then the sales side of things are a little bit different. Our El Dorado Hills store has been hit a little bit harder than the Rocklin store and the Sacramento store. It's down, I would say, about 50%. New car sales are down about 70% and used cars about 40%. The Rocklin dealership is a little bit better story with sales down about 40% and versus last April. And April's for us is usually a difficult month being tax time. Right. Sacramento is tracking for the same numbers as they did last year in April. It's pretty astonishing. Very strong on the used car side, and new car side probably will be down about 20%. So very, you know, we're very, very fortunate. Very fortunate.
What are you seeing overall, just as far as activity? Are you starting to see, you know, and obviously you guys are restricted, right? I mean, as far as sales and that sort
of, yes,
know, side of things?
Yes, we have to do most of our sales are online and delivery. You know, our sales departments are interconnected with our service departments, they are considered essential for the most part. So we do have some spillover. Customers will be waiting for service customers, you know, waiting for a vehicle and drift into sales. So there are some sales in, you know, in the traditional sense. But we're definitely doing more online delivery and so forth.
Right on. And I definitely want to talk about that because that's obviously a hot topic right now within the industry. So, you know, it'd be great to get your perspective on it. But are you starting to see more activity? Like, would you say that things are starting to pick up, or is it pretty much the same? Like just activity wise?
I think more activity, and a very good question. Yes. And we track our service appointments and our service phone calls and our sales phone calls. And they've been trending up the last 2 weeks. Mondays are the strongest, and then, you know, it trails off Tuesday through Saturday. But the Tuesday through Saturdays have been a gain week over week for the last couple of weeks. So we feel very optimistic there.
Right on, man. Okay, so I definitely want to talk. One of the things that we you know, when we were preparing for the session and we, you know, we were discussing topics and things, I wanted to talk to you about how you guys managed to take advantage of the current incentives or loans and things of that nature to kind of how that has impacted your operation But before we do that, I wanted to maybe go back a little bit in time here and get your perspective on you know, back 08, 09, when that whole thing was going on, and you know, how there seems to be a lot of reminiscing of those times within the industry right now. And you and I had a conversation yesterday, and you had a really good perspective on that. And you were talking about, well, back then it's different because back then it was gradual, right? And here it was just like overnight. They just said, hey, this is the way it is. And you know, if you weren't prepared, man, like it's definitely has had an impact on your business. So can you tell us a little bit about that? And, you know,
yeah. Yes. 2008 and 2009 were definitely more of a gradual than they are now. And it was just an absolute shock. The difference, 2008 and 2009 was a gradual decline, and it definitely allowed us more time to reorganize. I think, you know, this was just falling off a cliff. I mean, it was shock and awe and, you know, just devastation. And I guess what the two periods have in common is that we've seen that we were running our dealerships a little bit fat, as they say, and we definitely you know, after a great run of 10 years or so, we definitely left some expenses on the table.
Right. And that's interesting, man, because I'm seeing that as well with the stores that I work with. So when it came to making the tough decision, right, because obviously, you know, a lot of dealers have been faced with that. Some are maybe a little bit more successful than others, but still, I mean, the end result is cuts.
Yes.
How was that? What was the realization? Like, you know, we got to let go of some people, but during that process, well, maybe we were a little bit heavy to begin with, you know, just because the industry and everything's been so good and prosperous. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. You know, for us, it started on about March the 18th, and when things shut down and business stopped, literally stopped, we decided that we had to do something, and unfortunately, we laid off about 50 people, which represents about 17% of our workforce. And you know, they were some folks that could be filled in with other, you know, our express technicians, they became greeters, right? And we just moved things around a little bit, but we held off at that point because we saw that there was a program brewing, the federal government's payroll protection program. And I'm, you know, those were the worst days. I tell you, laying those people off was horrible. But the best, you know, the silver lining was that we didn't have a knee jerk reaction. A lot of dealers in our area laid off 80-90% of their entire dealership, right? You know that. And because of that payroll protection program, we've able to keep 260 people working, and it's just been a blessing.
Yeah, man, that's you know, when we were talking about that, I was really impressed because, like you said, I mean, there's just been, and I don't know, it's interesting because I don't know if it was maybe too quick of a reaction, you know, the cuts, and then, you know, on the marketing side, like a lot of dealers just stop everything, cancel everything, like, you know what I mean? Or is it just, well, this is the best, as an operator yourself, like, is this the next best action and then we regroup, or do we maybe wait this out a little bit? Like, what was your thinking there?
No, you're exactly right. That's what our thinking was. You know, we saw a lot of dealers, and you know, dealers in the Bay Area had a different situation than we do. They were absolutely shut, and we were in a gray area. But we decided that we would just take a deep breath after the first round of cuts and see what happened with the payroll protection program. And our CFO is very sharp guy, and he's got a lot of background with this kind of stuff. And he started researching the payroll protection program. And then we got into it with our bank, Five-Star Bank, local bank, who's just fantastic. And they worked with us. We got our number, and we got funded back in early April. So we were very, you know, lucky that we got funded early. We knew we had our ducks in a row, and so it wasn't so much heartburn keeping on all of our folks, you know.
Yeah.
And so yeah, silver lining.
Process-wise, George, to implement that and put it together, cumbersome was it, or pretty much smooth? What was that? What was that whole experience?
You know, I think because of our relationship with Five Star Bank, it was much easier for us than some of the folks dealing with larger banks with so much bureaucracy. We started researching the program on March the 20th. We started working with Five Star Bank on the 27th directly. We got our loan numbers on the 4th of April, and we got funded on the 7th of April. So it went very smooth for us.
Yeah, no, and that I have to assume that quick action just allowed you to make different types of decisions. You
know, it absolutely did. It absolutely did. We were able to keep all of our people on 100% of their pay based on either February of 2020 or average of 2019 average month up to $8,300 a month. And we've paid, you know, the full 100%. And I tell you, our people are so appreciative. I can go into that, but yes, that's what's happened.
That's awesome, man. So you said something right now that caught my ear, and I wanted to kind of develop that a little bit. You said that, you know, you guys started to get creative as far as roles and things within the dealership. You know what I mean? Like your express became greeters as well, or maybe a combination.
Yes.
Are you seeing within your stores in particular that there's maybe a hybrid sort of evolution of roles, if you will, where you know, to keep everybody and you know, just make it work, maybe add more responsibilities? Like, look, what's that like?
I think you're right. I mean, you just got that spot on. We've seen the ability to cross over. Like express technicians will also be able to do some greeting in the drives. They might be able to take care of cars. They're sanitizing cars, you know, when they're not busy. And these are the entry level folks that come aboard with some experience from automotive school. And they learn, and of course they're not as productive as a journeyman technician. So hi, Kat. That's my daughter.
Hello.
and so they do have, you know, they're not as productive. They do have, as they're learning, they do have time. So that's one crossover. And we're finding more.
Yeah. I want to chime in there too, because I a lot of times, and this is not just in the car business, man. This has just been business in general. But a lot of times we get into these situations, and obviously, you know, as an operator, you look at things a little bit differently, right? So you have to make the necessary cuts in order to survive. That's basically what it comes down to. And that involves making a lot of hard choices.
Yes.
But from your position at your level, do you think that it's for businesses in general? Obviously, we're in the car business, but just in general, do you think that it's, I don't want to say smart, but maybe tactical to go out to your workforce and be like, hey, listen, this is a situation that we're in. I want to keep as many of you as possible, but in order to make this work, like we all need to come together and we need to evolve and change. And some of us, you know, or most of us are going to have to weather the storm with us and ask your employees, you know what I mean? What are they willing to do for the company now that the company needs them most beyond a paycheck, right? Because now it's about just surviving and keeping afloat. And, you know, do you think that that's smart? Do you think that employees in general, if asked that question or given the opportunity to be like, hey, I'm willing to do this for the company now that they need me, do you think that they would, you know, make some personal sacrifices as well?
Absolutely. You know, and our folks really are. Our general manager of the group came up with a great idea. We're calling it the dealership renewal program, and literally, you know, I mean, our techs obviously they're pretty busy, right? But they do have some time, and parts advisors and so forth have time, and literally we're going from the very back of the dealership through the very front. I mean, we've got people painting curbs, filling you know, car stops and painting them. They're painting the car wash. They're just every technician's taking their work area, their work stall, and basically our goal is in 60 days, these stores look like they were just finished, you know, brand new. And the pride that these people are putting into it, rolling up their sleeves, our team, I'm just so proud of them. And they really are stepping up, to your point.
Yeah, I think it just, I don't know, man. Obviously, this, everybody runs their business differently, but I think that sometimes we underestimate what our employees are willing to do for the companies that they work for when they're called to step up. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And so just the when we're looking at just bottom line, it's just easy to be like, okay, we got to get rid of, you know, 20% of the workforce, because that's what pencils, right? And so that's the decision that we make. But I also think that if we were to ask our folks, like, hey man, you know, we need you right now, what are you willing to do to weather this with us, I think that companies would be surprised at the commitment that people are willing to make, you know, for the company. So
it's a pleasant surprise. And I don't know, it just as tough as everything is, and we, you know, I catch myself getting quite, excited about some of the events that are taking place within the dealership, you know, to the point that you just made. And at the same time, I have to think about those poor people that are dealing, who have, you know, this horrible disease and are dealing with it in hospitals. Sure. And so forth, and to kind of temper our excitement. But these folks have stepped up. And, and that's something that we'll hold on to as we go forward in the future.
Sure. All right. So, not completely moving along, but you talked about, you know, some of the extra work that your dealerships in particular are doing right now. And that's something that I've been, you know, on my content and things that I'm putting out there. That's one of the things that I'm talking about. It's like, look, I mean, it sucks, right? There's no other way to say it. It sucks. It's unprecedented. We weren't prepared, not just in the auto industry, but just in general for anything like this. It was abrupt, and just today is where the world is a certain way, and tomorrow is completely different, which, you know, it creates all kinds of chaos and issues within itself. But there's still opportunity, right? There's still an opportunity right now. And it doesn't matter, in my opinion, if your business is shut down or not. You know, now I'm talking about the automotive industry in particular. It doesn't matter if your dealership is shut down, because it's not the time to be like, okay, well, you know, we're going to do nothing. It's, you know, now it's the time to clean house. It's time to review your strategies. It's time to think about the future. You know what I mean? How is this going to impact the business, the industry? Are we prepared for, you know, all the potential changes that this situation is going to cause? And if not, now is the time, while we're shut down, to reevaluate, readjust. You know what I mean? I mean, what are your thoughts on that?
No, I think you're spot on. I mean, we're looking at our online presence. We've made adjustments to our mobile, our mobile apps. Our sales managers and sales consultants are training, you know, on product.
Yes.
We're training on this new, you know, doorbell delivery, and how do you do that? And you know, to become better and better at digital retail. So, you know, it's pretty amazing. And we've got some very creative and talented people that have just stepped up, working on processes, obviously, you know, service and parts processes and the like. So yeah, you're right on. And it's amazing that, you know, our folks want to come in and do something. They don't want to just sit around, and if it's slow, they want to do something. So they're working together, and it's quite team building as well.
Yeah, man. No, I love that. Just because, you know, like, you know, just because we're shut down doesn't mean that this is an opportunity for us to readjust things and you know, just be ready, because when things turn on, there's going to be pent up demand, right? And if we're not adjusted to how the consumers are, you know, are going to do business, then we're going to be in trouble. You know what I mean?
So yes, absolutely.
So we've mentioned or alluded to DR, digital retailing, or modern retailing, whatever they're calling it these days. And I wanted to definitely have that conversation with you. Obviously, hot topic within the industry. Just straight up question: were you guys prepared on the digital retailing side, or were you on the fence of, well, it's five, you know, we're not, you know, did you have the widgets? Did you have the processes, or is that something that you're implementing now? Like, where were you when this all went down?
I think we were not as prepared as we'd like to be, but probably more prepared than the average, you know, and, right. and in large part thanks to Mercedes-Benz and Mercedes-Benz Financial too. You know, they're quite leading edge on that stuff. And so I think we were pretty prepared. And we began working on our websites and some of the, you know, some of the tools that are out there that we weren't utilizing properly. So luckily we started working that a year and a half ago. So had we not done that, we'd have been in a world of hurt.
So let's evolve that, because obviously there's a lot of stores that weren't, man, that they didn't even have. I'm working with a lot of stores right now that they didn't even have the widget on their websites. And to be quite frank, just to be, you know, 100% transparent, I'm not really a big fan of digital retailing as it sits right now.
Yeah.
The reason for that is because I think that there is a misunderstanding of the concept. And here's what I mean. When I have conversations with dealerships about digital retailing, it's really weird, because the dealerships think about digital retailing as a la Carvana. It's an online buying experience. But when they try to convey that message to their audience, they still have the expectation for that customer to come to the dealership, right? They still want that customer to go in the box, and they want the customer to test drive and all these things, right? Yep. And so it's just really weird for me, because if we adopt that strategy or that new way or modern way of doing business, then there's a disconnect with the customer, because they're expecting to buy their car online.
Yeah.
Yet that's not really translating. I don't know if that makes sense, but that's kind of my issue with you know, the concept. I'm not saying it's not necessary. I'm not, now more than ever, but it's just, I don't know. It doesn't feel like it's fully cooked yet. You know, I don't know. What are your thoughts?
I totally agree with you on that. It isn't fully cooked yet. And, you know, and we don't have all the pieces of the puzzle in place, right? We don't have an iPad to handle our contracts, you know, and frankly, also on the other side of it, our customers like to come and look at cars and have right. The experience drive. You know, we've got, I sound like an ad here, but we've got 7 models that start under $37,000 new. So, you know, they want to, a lot of folks come out, they think they want a GLA, they end up driving out in a GLB. They like the process. It's a bit of, you know, as you know, in this day and age, entertainment is a big deal. And in some way, buying a car is an entertainment item. It's experience, rather.
Yeah. I don't know. My thought is for the stores that I consult with on this, I always tell them, like, why do we say buy online? You know, I'm always curious about that. I mean, are you delivering a Carvana experience? Is the customer never going to come into the dealership and you're just going to drop off the car at their house? And is that really what the end goal is here? And there's always like, well, no. And then it's like, so then why don't we say, start the buying process online, or save an hour during your buying process. So, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, start the paperwork, do all these things online. And every time the customer takes an extra step, we should be informing them of, hey, you just saved an hour by doing this. Some pop-up after he completes a form, some pop-up or some at next message to say, like, congratulations, you just saved an hour in your buying process. And if they do the next step, congratulations, you just saved 30 minutes. And so, you know what I mean? And so on and so forth. I don't know. I just feel like that's a little bit more of a reality of what the expectation is for digital retailing. And then the customer on their end, which is one of their biggest pet peeves, is they go to the dealership and they have to wait hours, right? So oh, yeah. Every time we tell them, hey, you've been rewarded with, you saved this much time by doing this process. I don't know. I think that to me, that conveys more the real message. Yet we still hold the expectation, or we still convey to the customer that, hey, you still got to come to the dealership. There's still more things that need to get done before this is fully, you know, completed.
I think that's the best I've ever heard it explained, Herb. I think you need to come and consult.
So I don't know. That's right. I mean,
yeah. Yes. Yes. We're a long way from, you know, no touch delivery. Well, we're doing no touch delivery as it relates to the virus and all that, but without coming into the store, to your point. But I think it's brilliant to tell these folks, you know, that and honest that you saved X amount of time by doing this step. And guess what? The next time when they come back in 3 years and lease another vehicle, they'll be that much more knowledgeable. So that's great.
Yeah, absolutely. And then the other thing about digital retailing that I've been talking to my stores on right now is use the tool so the customer builds their own deal. Like if the customer goes to the dealership, the salesperson should put them onto your widget, have the customer fill out the form right there in front of the salesperson, then, you know, have them fill out the trade. Instead of the customer walking in and going and seeing the manager, have the own customer work the deal and right there. You know, I mean, you want a transparent thing, like have your guys do it so that they don't have to leave the customer. The customer now is working their own deal. They come up with their own payment because they're the one filling out the information. Yes. You know what I mean? So it just, you know, it feels more, I think that the customer feels like they have more control in the process, which is going to make them happier through that experience.
Yes. It's more transparent, more credible. And our internet departments are doing, you know, bits and pieces of that. I don't think we're quite as far along as you're describing, but we are doing that. We see that a lot. And obviously, you know, 85% of the people or more, you would know the number better than me, are speccing cars online before they even come in to shop, even if they don't call before they come in or contact us online. Yeah.
Yeah. So it brings up a question, man. And I'm curious to get your take and your perspective on this, because I mentioned to you before we started recording, I have a couple stores out there that I consult with, and there's a lot of windshield time. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Between areas, like, you know, like I said, I have stores all the way out in Merced, you know, and so there's a lot of time there. And I don't know, maybe customers, I'm sure they migrate from other places, and you know, you're not just selling within your PMA. I'm sure.
Yes.
So do you see yourself, or do you guys already have something in place where you could offer that full experience? Or, you know, bell to bell, where I can go online, pick the car, do everything, never come to the dealership, and then all of a sudden a transporter is dropping off the car at my front door.
That's definitely the direction that we're heading, because we need to have that for the customers that want it. Mm-hmm. If we're going to compete with, like you said, the Carvanas and et cetera, we have to have that, and that's the direction we're heading. In a lot of areas, our technology isn't keeping up, as you well know. I totally agree. And you described our market, you know, our stores are probably 12, 14 miles apart, but it's, you know, these days a 45-minute drive most of the time.
Yeah.
I can see that happening, and it's, we have to prepare for it.
Yeah. I'm curious to, I'd be really curious, to see how that would look as far as a percentage. Like, let's say that all dealerships in the US today could deliver that experience 100%. Okay. You know, never come to the dealership, you know. I wonder how much percentage of the business that would equate to. You know what I mean? And here's what I think, and I've mentioned this already in a couple of sessions, but there's a generational issue to consider here.
Okay.
You know, like me, for example, my age, I'm considered a millennial, but you know, I'm 40 years old. So the millennial, the way that we think about millennials as, you know, these 20-year-old, like, that's not really the case anymore.
That's right. We're all getting older.
Yeah, man. So when I think about it, like, I would never buy a car online. The people that I talk to, my friends, my circle of friends, they would never buy the car online. They weren't, you know, it's because we grew up going to the dealership, you know what I mean? And seeing our parents test drive the cars and, you know, having that wait time at the waiting area and all those things. So I don't know, are there people that want to buy? Yes, of course. But what percentage of our business would that equate to? I guess the real question is, are we really missing out? You know what I mean? Are we really, really missing out on potential sales or money, you know, by having that? The only way that makes sense is only a few dealers do it, because that's a completely different experience, right, than anybody else offers. But as soon as everybody's doing it, how much of our business percentage is that going to equate to? I don't think that it's going to be a lot yet. You know, I don't know. What do you think?
You know, when you first asked the question, the number percentage 20% came to mind. I don't know why. I would just say like 20%, and that would probably be a big number. For us, I think a lot of those type of deals that we've done in the past, even, you know, before such a digital world, we're kind of the super high-end buyers buying an S63 AMG or something like that. You know, they know, hey, I want black on black and this is it. Boom, deliver it to me. And, you know, I don't have time to mess with it. Deliver it to my assistant, you know. So we've seen that over the years in the luxury business. But I think, yeah, I'm with you. I think overall it's not a big percentage. And you know, with the help from guys like you, we can stay ahead of it. And as it grows, you know, be there. So.
Yeah. I'm just, you know, who knows? I mean, I know that there's, look, I don't want to sound close-minded to it. Like, oh, you know, just because I'm in the car business, I'm open-minded to it. I just don't think that yet, even with everything going on right now, that it's going to equate a big percentage of our business if we're all doing it in you know, combination, right? If just a few of them do it, then yeah, that's a differentiator for sure. But, you know, time will tell. The good thing about all this, you know what I mean? The good thing about all this whole situation is that it's forced change, right? And change by definition is something that's going to happen whether we want it or not. It's just going to happen, right? And that's where we are in this situation. But the beauty of this long term is the progress part of it, right? Because the progress is something that we choose to do to evolve. And a lot of dealers now are choosing to go to that model. The ones that weren't ready for it at all, you better believe that they're putting widgets on their website. They're looking at it now more than ever, and they're making those necessary steps. And so it's gonna look great here in the next, you know, I say within the next year, it's gonna be pretty incredible. So
I agree. I think a lot of progress is being made as we speak, and the sooner we come out of this, the better. And I think it could be we can be in a much better position for sure.
Yeah. So what about service, man? Let's talk about service for a minute. Okay. A lot of the things that I'm a service guy. You know, I think I mentioned to you yesterday, I was a loop tech tire technician, a service writer, service manager. So that's really where, you know, that's near and dear to my heart. Obviously this is forcing service departments to look at their business a little bit different, you know, picking up car, dropping off cars. Some are doing this hand-free handoff sort of a deal. What changes have you guys made internally to that, to the fixed ops side of the house, and how are you seeing that translate now?
Well, you know, absolutely. We're looking at mobile service, and we were doing this even before the crisis broke out, looking at taking Mercedes Sprinter vans and equipping them to do mobile service. And now we can equip them to do more than just little A and B services. They actually can come with lifts, and we can do some pretty good deep work on vehicles on a mobile. And we do have two Sprinter dealerships, one in Sacramento, one in Rockland as well. And of course, you know, let's say some of our customers, like an ambulance service and so forth, they want us to come out and do mobile service. So we're definitely going in that direction. You know, if we talked in 6 months, I bet we'd have two or three of these vehicles on the road now at that time. So that's definitely evolving. You know, of course, what we're doing to deal with COVID is, you know, every vehicle now is being fogged, and when it comes in, disinfected, the entire interior of the vehicle. And once we rolled that out, we had clients calling in our service department, got overbooked. And we said, well, you know, we have to do this with a service, you know, and because folks just want to come in and get it done. So it's been very well received.
That brings up a good point. From the customer side, are you seeing that the customers themselves are asking for something different than what they were getting in the past?
Yes.
As far as pickup and, you know, like they're requesting those things.
Yeah, definitely. They love the fact that we're cleaning the customer facing areas several times a day. We put up plastic dividers in the service advisors area, sales and parts areas, so that there's a divider that makes them feel more comfortable. All our people mm-hmm. are masked up and gloved up, you know, and we do, you know, all the steering wheel covers and seat covers, and then we fog the car before they pick it up. So it makes them much more comfortable. And I think that goes back to us talking about the uptick in business in the last week and a half or so. And that's helped. Yeah.
Right on. Yeah. That's, I think that side of it is, It's more interesting to me than the sales side, because digital retailing has been here. Those conversations have been taking place, but this has completely shocked the fixed operations side, like completely. Like, no, there wasn't even a consideration for the most part for most, you know, unless you're in places like New York and, you know, that you need to get creative just because of space and that sort of deal. But yeah, I mean, no, it doesn't matter if you're in a metro or if you're in a single point market. Like, you know, if you're not picking cars up, if you're not sanitizing cars, if you're not doing hands-off services, then you're in trouble, you know?
So. For sure. And I, you know, I think it's just our moral obligation to do it for our clients and our team members, you know, for sure. And it makes everybody comfortable. And I knock on wood that, you know, we haven't seen any cases yet. And, I don't want to jinx that, but we haven't seen any cases at any of our dealerships to this point. So,
right on, that's awesome.
Hanging off. We also in a company and fog the entire dealership, including service departments and what have you, on a regular basis as well. It's pretty expensive, but it's obviously got to do it right now.
Yeah, for sure. So I wanted to talk about marketing a little bit, just to get your perspective on that. You know, that's my area. So I'm curious to get your thoughts, but before we do that, there's conversations about how this has changed the industry and forever changed the industry, sort of a sentiment, you know, for lack of a better word, but your thoughts, man, do you really think that it's changed the industry forever? I mean, is it in that magnitude of a statement?
I don't. I think that the industry was already in the midst of a huge change, and it maybe accelerated that change. But I think that's kind of the extent of it. I mean, we, you know, working with our vendors, and you know, particularly on marketing, our marketing budget is cut by, I guess, 70%, and. But we kept, you know, every online vendor, every digital vendor, lead providers, you know, I mean, we're still in Costco. We didn't cut any of those. We cut them back. And, you know, frankly, almost all of them worked with us by, you know, big discounts, 50% plus. And we're still on KCRA Channel 3, the NBC affiliate. We kept a presence with them as well, you know, and they gave us a good buy. But we figured we still have to keep our name out there, and the ad has nothing to do with come in for the greatest lease payment or whatever. It's showing what we're doing, the things we've been discussing, what we're doing within the dealerships to keep sure. business going and make it safe for everyone, safe as we can make it.
Yeah, man, I like that because how do I say this? It's kind of like a doom and gloom sort of a deal. Like, oh, the industry's changed forever. And it's, yeah, I mean, it's, I don't know, man. It just seems like a little bit exaggerated, you know?
Yes. Absolutely.
I think that this is going to, like I said, it's going to evoke progress, which I'm very excited for. But I still think consumers, for the most part, are going to want to still go to the dealership, you know, in some capacity, in some form. They're still going to want to test drive cars and all those things. I just think that they want to feel safe. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
They want to feel like they're not at risk, you know, and like you said, that's spot on as far as marketing. If your message is the same that it was a month ago, then you're in trouble.
Oh, for sure.
You know what I mean? There's no other way to say it.
And to me, it's almost distasteful, you know, if it's too pushing selling cars right now, at least at a point, you know, at a price point or something, it's not the message that needs to get out there. And mm-hmm. yeah.
Yet, I'll tell you, George, I go to a lot of websites just to do research and look, and you go to the website and there's not one thing that says, this is what we're doing different, you know, feel safe. It just... the same stuff that was on there before. There's not a single social media post on, hey, this is what we're doing. I don't see the YouTube ad videos on process. I don't see any of that. It's pretty crazy, man. So
a lot of opportunity for sure. Our clients and potential clients need to see that. And it's been very successful. I think, you know, when we look at our numbers as compared to some of the other in the area, you know, it seems to be paying off. So it's good.
Yeah.
too, you know, still, even, you know, someone young like you, you still want to go in and kick tires and look at cars. I don't think that's going to change completely in the future. It's a second big difference people make.
Yeah. Well, I had Peter Leto on the session. We actually did a session yesterday, and he was the head of the automotive division for Google for like 9 years. And his main message was social media, man. Social media, you got to be on there. Tell customers what you're doing different. That's got to be the push right now. To your point, it can't be about, hey, we got 0%. It's got to be about safety. This is what we're doing to make sure that you're safe, to ensure your safety and the safety of our employees too, because quite frankly, that's, you know, customers want to know on both ends, right? They're still dealing with people when they go to the dealership. So
for sure. I think they want to do business with companies that have a, you know, high moral regard and feel good about that, you know?
Yeah. Sure. All right. So we're getting close to that time, but I just wanted to touch really quick here on the marketing side, on the data side more than anything. Okay. When it comes to decisions being made at this point, right? We're what, a month in, things are different, and we're adjusting and all these things. But when it comes to the data, man, like what are you guys seeing? Are you guys looking at the data to make decisions? Are you, you know, do you think that we're not paying as close attention to that as we should? And the reason I ask is because, for example, Google Analytics, right? Typically, if you're doing it right, you should have goals set, you know? Okay. One of those goals could be map views or store visits. Yeah. Well, that's not relevant anymore, in my opinion, because people are not, you're just not getting that walk-up traffic, you know what I mean? For the most part, some stores do on the service side and all those things, but when it comes to sales, especially if you're shut down, I mean, you can't, you know what I mean? And the only thing that's constant is going to be your website. And so how are you measuring that traffic? How are you looking at the data? Should we be adjusting goals, readjusting goals, reevaluating? Like, what's your take on that?
Yeah, no, I think that definitely readjusting goals to a more realistic number for where we are, but also not to just give in and say, we can't do, you know, we have to do, you know, a lower number than is possible. We work with R2 Media and Raquel, who is the president and owner of the company, does a great job for us. And you know, probably with her, that's one of the reasons why we're still have a presence across everything that we were doing before regarding media and digital and so forth and even broadcast. So we will look at the numbers on a weekly basis and adjust, but I don't see us, you know, maybe I'm a bit of a the glass is half full kind of a person in that I would say our budget would probably increase next month instead of decrease. I would say that based on what we're seeing in the last 2 weeks, I think we'll probably slowly ramp up. That's my guess.
Yeah, no, and that makes a lot of sense because I'm going to tell you right now, a lot of dealers won't, and that by itself is going to give you guys an edge. But the thing is the message, like you said. It's got to be the right message too, because you can spend a lot more money and doing all these things with the wrong message, and that might actually hurt you. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
So I think the message is key. And then not being so quick to just be like, okay, shut everything down. You know what I mean? Like that's not, you know, unless you're looking at your numbers and that's what the most logical next best step is. But for the most part, I'd say that's going to hurt you. You know what I mean?
I agree.
Customers are home. They have time on their hands. So, you know, they're doing stuff. They're looking at websites, or they're on third party sites. They're on social media like crazy. Exactly. That's why if you're not on Facebook and Instagram, YouTube, I'm telling you, they're just missing out. There's just so much opportunity there right now.
No, I think you're spot on. And then that's our ad. I mean, our ad is about that. We're open for business. We show a car being fogged in the service drive. We show the, you know, the dealership with all the protective measures in place, and I think it's working, and our folks like it. It feels good, you know. It feels good.
Yeah. Right on. So, you know, like I said, there's one question I ask everybody that comes on the show, so we'll get to that in a minute. And I wanted to give you just a quick moment to tell us a little bit more about you and your business, and you know, just give us a little recap there. But advice. George, for people in your shoes, people like, you know, controllers and you know, the main decision makers of dealerships right now, if there's a takeaway, what would that be?
Take this time to polish every process. Take a look at the dealership with a new set of eyes. Rally the troops, the folks that you've kept on, and take a look at the PPP program. If you haven't, make sure you get in there. And there's a second tranche of funding that just everybody knows. It just came in yesterday. And try and get your folks back to work. Adjust the message. As you said, the marketing message has got to be relevant and make your customers feel comfortable. Get better at remote delivery and even mobile service, and build some esprit de corps and camaraderie within the dealership, and remain optimistic. I can't listen to too much news these days, too much doom and gloom. And it is very, very sad for the people that are suffering with this. And I just pray that there are some treatments that come up much more quickly than a vaccine. But stay positive and work on processes, work on training, and stay engaged with your team.
Yeah, man. No, I love that. People in process, man. That's what it's all about. Everything else is they're just add-ons, marketing included. But you know, if you don't have people and you don't have processes, then it's not going to work.
You know
it, dude. It's been awesome to have you on the show. I love having your perspective. Thank you so much for doing this. Tell us a little bit about you. Like if people want to reach out and get in touch with you, like, tell us about the dealerships and, you know, future goals.
Well, thank you. You know, listen, it's been a first time I've ever done this, and it's been an absolute honor, and your knowledge and, is very impressive. And thank you for leading me through this. So quickly. Our company was founded by my father in 1957, and it's Von Hausen Motors, which means from the Finer House. And he left us in 2007, and since then, in 2003, I got an open point and opened up Mercedes-Benz at El Dorado Hills, and then we opened Mercedes-Benz at Rocklin in 2009. Interesting. That, you know, constructing Mercedes-Benz of Rocklin in 2008, and it was a very gut-wrenching experience.
For sure. I'm sure, yeah.
And unfortunately, I told our folks, because we had a fire in Mercedes-Benz of Sacramento. We have two showrooms there, thank goodness. And we had a fire in 2018 that burned our showroom down. And we started upon a big construction project. And I said, sure enough, there'll be a recession. And it's been worse than that, of course. Every time we build something, it seems like there's some major world crisis. And we did make a decision to continue with the construction. And I'm glad we did. We're going full steam ahead. Of course, construction's an essential business in California. So we hope to have the new showroom open, you know, in the fall. And the timing could be great there. So now we have the three stores and just a great group, and, you know, Sacramento's growing. I'm on the Greater Sacramento Economic Council, joined in 2017, I guess, late 17, early 18. They're doing a great job in the area, bringing business and jobs to Sacramento under the leadership of Barry Broom. And there's 43 board members from the private sector, and I think 20 from the public sector, including all the mayors of all the area of the Greater Sacramento area. So it's a great group, and it's an honor to be on your show, and thank you. It's been a great experience speaking with you.
No, thanks, man. Again, this has been awesome. Your perspective from people like you, we need to be able to get that out there and share that with the dealer community for sure. All right, so there's one question that I ask everybody that comes on the show. Okay. That question is, where do you see the automotive industry headed in the next 5 years, and why?
Well, I see the automotive industry headed in the direction more digital, as we discussed earlier, more sophisticated in that area. I do think we will see, especially in California, more and more electric vehicles. I don't think they'll come on as quickly as everyone, well, not everyone, as a lot of folks think they will. And I do think that we'll see some changes to retail, but I kind of agree with you in that I really feel people still want to come to the dealership and have a shopping experience. But we have to be ready for the next type of retail and grow into that. Because you know what, the Z Gens and so forth, we have to be ready for them and respect their wishes and do business the way they want to do it. Be ready to do it.
Right on. That's it. Love it. George Grinswish, everybody. Thank you so much, George, for doing this again. That's all the time we got. Please, if you like this episode, if you like this session, share it. Make sure that people take this information back to the dealer and implement in their day-to-day. Thank you again for tuning in. And as usual, we'll talk later. It's that dealer talk. Ooh, welcome to the show. We hope you have a blast. Thanks for making time for the dealer talk podcast.